Martin Luther King said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy."
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In our broadcast this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will conclude his message taken from the life of Joseph entitled, Stamped with Integrity. Joseph stands as a unique individual in the Bible in that since becoming a slave in Egypt, he demonstrated a life of unwavering moral integrity. Pastor Grant described integrity as doing the right thing all the time, even when no one is looking. This was the defining characteristic of Joseph's life. Though he came from a troubled family background, yet by his personal integrity, he became the deliverer of his highly dysfunctional family and for the first time brought them together as one people. But we're getting a little ahead of the story because the apparent sidetracking of his God-given dream there in Pharaoh's prison, his unwavering integrity led to his elevation to the prime ministership of the greatest empire of that day. We'll now resume the message where our broadcast ended last week. So we invite you to listen with us as Pastor Grant finishes his message, Stamped with Integrity. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Joseph's decision to stay pure landed him in prison. But the price for walking in integrity was worth it. Please don't miss that. The price for walking in integrity was worth it because it was from this prison that Joseph would eventually be elevated to become the prime minister. Had he not gone into the prison, he would not have become prime minister. Listen, a walk in integrity will cost you, but it's worth the price. I'll never forget in our teenage years, my dad, by God's grace, was doing exceptionally well. And now here he was, a senior executive at an insurance company. He was effectively running the company. But it was a family had controlling interest, and one of their family members stole money. And you know, when you steal money, it's not your family's money you're stealing. When you steal from an insurance company, you're stealing the policyholder's money, you're stealing the people's money. And so my dad brought it to the board's attention and let them know that by law in Jamaica, he had to report this to the regulators, the insurance regulators. The family said, no, you cannot report it to the regulators. You have to find a way to cover it up. You're going to have to cover it up. And my dad said, no, he could not cover it up. And so they forced him to resign. And because of his integrity, he resigned. I want to tell you, Richard, if you ask him, he'll tell you, this was perhaps one of the most traumatic events in our family life. But yet perhaps for me, it was the most one of the most transformative things that ever happened in our family. Listen. When you're walking integrity, it will cost you, but it's worth the price. You say, Brian, how did it, was it worth the price? Well, it was worth the price. You know, some stories, you hear the story, and they say, oh, we were doing well, and but we even did better. No, we never financially, we never ever lived the life we were living prior. But my father's impact for God was so much greater after that crisis than before. All the lessons my parents had been trying to teach me finally clicked in because my father modeled for me what integrity was all about. That integrity means that you might give up and lose everything, but if you are living for God, it's worth it. It suddenly clicked. And I'm here to tell you, my brother and my sister, that integrity, living in integrity, will cost you. If you decide to walk in integrity, if you decide to do the right thing all the time, it will cost you. Young people, a boyfriend or a girlfriend might walk off, but thank God when they do. Martin Luther King said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." What a powerful line. The ultimate measure of a man or woman is not where he or she stands in moments of comfort and convenience. My brother and sister, what really counts is where you stand, how you act when you are challenged, where your integrity will cost you. May God help us, my brothers and sisters. Might God help us. Listen, some of you are probably going through a situation right now where you have been walking in integrity and it has cost you. It's okay. Go ahead and pay the price, because it's going to be, you're going to find out it was worth it all at the end. Listen, a walk in integrity is often birthed through crisis. Second, a walk in integrity will cost you, but it's worth the price. But third, a walk in integrity will bring about God's favor. I'm at Genesis 39, verse 21. So here is Joseph. Where is Joseph? He's where? In the? He's in prison. And you're saying to me, Pastor, how could that be God's favor? Well, verse 21 of Genesis 39, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And just in case you didn't get it, verse 22, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever he did there, it was his doing." And the chapter ends by saying that God made whatever Joseph did to prosper. Well, with that as a backdrop, you may say, how do you explain Genesis 40:23? Because Genesis 40:23, as the reading was, we just heard the reading, after all that Joseph had done for the chief butler, Genesis 40:23 says, "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but what? Forgot him." Man, I used to be upset every time I read that part. I said, what an did you feel that way? What an ungrateful man. What an ungrateful man after all Joseph did for him. He just forgot him like that. Hey, it's evident from the text that if the butler had remembered him, Joseph may have gotten out of jail 2 years earlier. He would have been out of the dungeon 2 years earlier. But you know, I started reflecting and realizing that God wanted Joseph in jail 2 years longer. Oh, somebody's going through something right now and you're saying, God, why aren't you gotten me out of it? God wanted him in jail 2 years longer. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? How do I know it? Because God needed for Joseph to be in jail when Pharaoh had a dream that needed to be interpreted. Amen? God needed Joseph to be right there so Pharaoh could reach out to Joseph. Joseph could interpret this dream that none of the other experts could interpret. And that was what God wanted. Can I say something to you? God's timing is always perfect. Do you believe that? God's timing is always perfect. Too often we get disappointed with people who didn't come through for us. You know, perhaps you're a single lady and your friend Mary Jones, you know, she has a brother named Jim, and you're hoping that she would have introduced you to her brother Jim, because in your mind you could see you and Jim Jones. Me and Mr. Jones. But perhaps the Lord saved you from getting hooked up with Jim Jones so you didn't drink his Kool-Aid. You're going to explain that one to some of these young folks won't get that one about Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid. But some of you old folks ought to know what I'm talking about, what happened down there in Guyana. Amen? But let's not kid ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves. Waiting is hard. Has anybody ever had to wait on God to... you know what makes it really hard? When you're in a tough situation. When you're in a tough situation and you're figuring, God, why don't you do it? Why don't you move? That is always a tough situation. And listen, Joseph's situation wasn't easy. You remember what he said to the butler? Get me out of this what? This dungeon. Get me out of this dungeon. I didn't do nothing to be in this dungeon. Waiting on God is hard. Paul knew exactly what that was like. You remember that story? Paul had what? The Bible calls it what? A thorn in the flesh. Anybody remember that story? He had a thorn in the flesh. And the Bible says he asked the Lord what? 3 times. God, please, please, pretty please, pretty please, please take away this problem. You know, our devotional, which is available here at GCA. I hope you'll get to yours this morning. But you know what? The devotional made the point in one of the recent devotionals. It said, perhaps the reason that God didn't tell us what the thorn in the flesh was, because, you know, every Bible scholar has a different opinion as to what it was. They said probably the reason why God didn't tell us what it was is because if he did, you and I may say, what God answered only works in the situation. So let's say it was high blood pressure. Oh, it only works if it's a high blood pressure or if it's some health-related issue. And God doesn't even give us a clue what the thorn in the flesh is, because God wants us to realize that whatever is the drama you are experiencing, what he told Paul is the answer he wants to give you. And so right now today, since I'm sure there's somebody here who is going through some tough experience that you're hoping God would relieve you from, I want to give you an answer from heaven. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And hear God speak to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we can read from verse number 7. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's telling us, you know, sometimes, you know, Joseph's crisis had a lot to do with bringing down his pride level. Any of you ever had problems with pride? It's interesting that the Apostle Paul is now telling you that part of his issue was God was trying to bring down his own pride level. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. He could be so proud because of the spiritual revelations that God had given him. God sends him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And God said, somebody read with me, please. He said what? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let's read it one more time. God said what? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. Hear what Paul says. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's really not about me. It's about him. I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace. Listen, listen. Put this in your notes. God, part of God's favor, is his all-sufficient grace.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Oh, you're going through a tough time this morning, but God is saying, and he cannot lie, he says, his grace is sufficient. And I encourage you to take rest in God's all-sufficient grace. There's more than adequate supply of grace. 10-year-old Nick was visiting his grandma and was telling her all the difficulty he was having. He said, everything is going wrong. He said, Grandma, things, I have problems at school. He said, Grandma, we're having family problems. He says, Grandma, there's just so many problems. Grandma listened to all his whining and griping, and Grandma said to him, are you hungry? Would you like a snack? And of course, a 10-year-old boy, he's always ready for a snack. So he said, of course I'd like a snack. So Grandma said to little Nick, she said, Nick, how about a couple of raw eggs? He said, that's yucky. She said, all right, well, what about some flour and baking soda? What about some cooking oil? He said, Grandma, why are you saying this? That's all so terrible, that's nasty. She said, Nick, they may sound nasty, but do you know, if these things that by themselves seem so yucky, if I took them all together and combined them in the right way, if I took that cooking oil and that flour and that baking soda and those eggs and I combined them all in the right way, Nick, do you know what comes out? This delicious cake that I'm baking for you, that's the result of when I take all this stuff and put them together. God is baking a delicious cake out of your life. He's using all the drama. He's using the eggs. He's using all the ingredients. Oh, that's what the Apostle Paul meant in Romans 8:28. When he said this, we know that all things are working what? Together. Oh, that pain you're experiencing by itself might be yucky, but when you put that and this and the other thing together, God is working all these things together. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. God is working all these things together for the good of those who love the Lord. Amen. And so, my brother and my sister, don't give up. Rest in his all-sufficient grace, knowing that God is at work in you. He is working both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is doing something marvelous in our eyes. But write this down. God is working in our lives, but he's more interested in our character than our comfort. Amen. He's more interested in our character than in our comfort. Oh, next week we're going to talk a little bit more when we talk about I can see more clearly. That's the message title next week. I can see clearly now. Oh, one of these, oh, we have to get to that part of the story where Joseph is able to see clearly what God is up to. And I believe somebody's going to be encouraged next week as God starts to unravel for you what he did in Joseph's life. And then suddenly, perhaps God, by his Spirit, will help you to realize he is doing something marvelous in your life as he moves you to his purpose for you. So what have we said so far? A walk in integrity is often birthed through crisis. A walk in integrity will cost you, but it's worth the price. Third, a walk in integrity will bring God's favor. And fourth and finally, a walk in integrity will result in God's promotion. And don't worry, the plane is going to be landing soon. Genesis 41. Verse 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. I was going to read for you verses 33 to 44, but I want you to read this on your own for the sake of time. Because eventually, verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. He put on him a signet ring. He clothed him in fine garment, verse 43. He put him to ride in Air Force 2. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. A walk in integrity will result in God's promotion. Joseph had gone from the pit to the prison and then suddenly to the palace. What a mighty God we serve. Listen, when we walk in integrity, God will eventually promote us. You say, Pastor, are you saying that all of us will get to the palace? Nah. Listen good. He will promote each of us to our right place. I don't want you to miss that. God is going to promote each of us to our right place. Put this down in your notes. Final thing to write. When we walk in integrity, God will help us to achieve the purpose for which he made us. I don't want to achieve the purpose for which he made you. I want to achieve the purpose for which he made me. And when I keep walking with God, when I keep walking in integrity, God is going to promote me. In 1820, a six-week-old baby girl became blind because of a medical mistake. 6 weeks old, she became blind because of a medical error. You know, her parents assumed that she would amount to nothing because in those days, back in 1820, there was very little opportunities for somebody that was blind. But you know, at a very early age, this young lady decided that she was going to walk with God, that she was going to dedicate her talents to God. She decided, I want to live for Jesus. And I tell you, God honored that girl. He promoted her to her right place. You know, this girl is still regarded today, this lady from 1820, she grew up, and even today she's regarded as America's hymn queen, because Fanny Crosby went on to write, listen to this, over 8,000 gospel hymns and over 1,000 poems. How in the world could somebody produce 9,000? You've worked out the math. God took this blind girl. Her parents said there was no hope for her, but she had made a commitment to God. She had decided to walk with God, and God took her, and He made her live a life of impact. He took her to her right place. And my friend, if you this morning are willing to commit to God, He is willing to take you to your right place to help you to achieve the purpose for which you're made. You know, I love her hymns. I love her hymns, hymns like "To God Be the Glory." Oh, songs like "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." Go home and look her up. You'd be amazed of how, all the songs you sing. That's from her. And what about this one? "Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. I'm so glad Jesus is mine." You would know how glad I am that Jesus is mine. My friend, the only possible way we can live lives of integrity, the only possible way we can live any way to please God, is because Jesus is ours. My friend, it could be that you're here this morning and Jesus is still not yours. Or it could be you're not committed to Him. Do something about that today. Come to Him. Yield to Him. He'll change your life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, "The Word for You Today." We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.